Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Hi everyone, thanks for joining us. I am going to continue today on our Hymn Possible series, and the song that I am going to be preaching on today is Our God Reigns. It's a really simple song and it goes like this: Our God reigns, our God reigns, forever his kingdom reigns, our God reigns. Amen. So the first question I'm going to ask is, what does this song tell us about God? Well, first of all, our God rules and reigns over all the heavens and over all the earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And all authority has been given to Jesus because Jesus defeated Satan on the cross. He overcame death through the resurrection. God has already won. It's going to be all good in the end for those who believe him. It says in Revelation 22:5, night will be no more. They will never need the light of the sun or a lamp, because the Lord God will shine on them. And they will reign as kings forever and ever. You see, there will be no more night, because God will be our light. Darkness does not have the last word. At the moment, there is day and there is night. There is day and there is night. But in the end, there will only be light. Church, we may lose a battle, but we have won the war. With all that's happening in the world in these unprecedented times, one of the scriptures I've been reading is Psalm 46. It's a powerful psalm, and basically the psalm declares God's rule and reign over all the heavens and earth. It starts off by saying God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Goes on to say, everyone look, come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God. For he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. So surrender your anxiety, be silent and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. Another version says, be still and know that I am God. I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Isn't that good, church? Our God reigns, forever his kingdom reigns. Whenever I sing this song, it just causes me to pause and to be still and know that he is God. It causes me to be silent, to stop my striving and surrender all my anxiety and give it all to him again. It's he that rules and reigns. He can bring both ruin and revival. He can make conflicts end throughout the earth. And even if the seas are raging, even when the earth quakes and shakes, we need not fear, because our God reigns and he is our ever-present help in trouble. And he is our refuge. Whatever happens to us, church, in the end, we win. We are saved. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We belong to him. He is ultimately in charge. And his will for us will prevail. When we cry out to him and we put our trust in him, whenever fear comes, we can declare that our God is bigger than any devil. Our God is bigger than any problem we are facing today. He is forever faithful. He delivered us from all our troubles before, and he will do it again. God's ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours. God is always good. So if God reigns, how should we live our daily lives? Do we sit and wait for God to return and drift along, living powerlessly? You can choose to live like this, but you would be missing out of a life full of adventure, a life that is exciting, a life that is full of joy, peace, love, and power, and a life where you are fully alive because you are co-partnering with God and living out your calling and destiny. If God reigns and he is for us and not against us, his plans are to bless us and to prosper us. If this is true, then how should we live our daily lives? If God is our provider, our shepherd, our deliverer, our healer, our father, our comforter, if God loves us and knows what is best for us, and he is all-powerful and all-knowing, then how should we live our daily lives? If God has said that he will supply all our needs according to the abundance of the riches of his glory, then that would mean everything we need, God has the grace, he's given us the resources, the finances, the wisdom, the knowledge, everything we need to live our lives fully in peace, love, and joy, living victoriously, no matter what trials and tribulations we're facing. There is nothing that is impossible for God. If he can raise Jesus from the dead, then nothing is impossible for God. So if God reigns over the heavens and over the earth, does God reign in your lives? Maybe he reigns in parts of our lives, but there are parts we've shut the door to him. Does God reign in your finances, in your relationships? Does God reign in your jobs, in your business? In your relationships, are you loving on those around you like Jesus loves them? And in your finances, are you trusting him as provider? Further still, are you providing to others out of the riches and resources Father God has given you? Jesus said, greater works will you do than these. What does that invitation mean? If Jesus raised the dead, healed the sick, cast out demons, and cleansed the lepers, then surely this is the only minimum requirement that Jesus has asked us to partner with him. I've asked a lot of questions here. Imagine this, I'll put it this way. If a relative died and they've left you a massive inheritance and it's coming to your bank account, you would plan and live your life differently today. And that's exactly what has happened. You and I have already got God's inheritances. His promises are true. Are we just going to let it sit in that bank account? I just want to take a bit of time now to share what I feel God has been saying to me. And so kindly, Holy Spirit reminded me of what he said to me just before lockdown, back in March, when I woke up one morning. I just felt the Lord speak the word redemption over me. And he had been saying that word redemption for the last few months, in fact. And I remember back then, in I think it was one of my prayer meetings, I shared that word with everyone. And I shared that God is stirring us up, he is shaking us up so that he can prepare us to arise and shine, for your light has come. And I shared the scriptures in Isaiah 60, 1-4. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. It goes on to say, see, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. You see, God is preparing the church to get ready because he is rising up his army. And we're part of his redemption plan. Revival is coming and he is rising the church to be a light on the hill. We have all got our parts to play. People are going to get saved and they're going to be coming to our church. And God wants us ready. Ready so we can heal the sick. Ready so we can feed the hungry. Ready so that we can love those who are in need, who are broken, to nurture them, to teach them, and to make them whole. And this last week or so, God's been just saying to me that there is a shifting happening, and he is shifting my thinking. He's shifting my thinking and focus on his kingdom so that I focus on the king. I was under a lot of spiritual attack this August. And I don't know if all of you heard this, but I know some of you did. The prophetic word that Steve Tepp shared last Sunday was so powerful and spoke right into my heart and spirit. And Steve shared that God is realigning each and every one of us, and he is relaying a new foundation. He talked about humility and prayer comes before revival. He went on to share that some of us had been feeling the effects of spiritual warfare, specifically in the month of August, and that we were feeling an atmosphere and it was happening around us and over us, and that he was saying, you've been confused. You're wondering what was happening with you, but it's not you. It's a spiritual warfare that's happening in the atmosphere around us. And when he said that, just something just shifted in me. That's what it was. I repented for partnering with that negative atmosphere. just to give you some of the backstory, the last couple of weeks I had been not feeling myself. I felt God was really distant. I was like, God, what's going on? What's happened? Where did this, where did I lose my joy? Where are you? I couldn't get close to him in my quiet times or whenever I was trying to reach out. I was getting frustrated and I just felt lost. Then the day before Steve shared last week, I found myself crying in the bakery like you do as I was making sandwiches. And I said to Ben, my husband, I said, I feel like I'm having a nervous breakdown. Where did that come from? It came from just nowhere. I have not had a thought like that in my mind for absolutely years. It did not sound like me at all. So when I received that prophetic word, something broke and I surrendered it all to Father God. And I repented. And since then, it's been a fair fight again. During this period, I was just like, God, what is it? You know, what's the lie I've believed? And God will always use all things for good and turn it around. You know, he will always use it. Nothing's wasted. And I felt God was saying that you are still struggling with that mindset where you always have to work for approval. It's always about performing to get approval. And the thing is, I don't know about you, but I have been brought up in this way, and I probably have brought my children up this way, that, you know, I had to perform. I had to work hard to get any kind of approval or affection from my parents, especially my dad. And this way of thinking has been such a struggle with not only my relationship with others, but with my relationship with Father God. So for me, when I hear from God, I'm a doer. I just want to be obedient. I just want to, like, the performance kicks in and it's like, tell me what you want me to do, Lord, and I will do it. And this is good because we're all called to be obedient. Don't get me wrong. But there's something that I felt God was saying, and he's shifting right now. He's asking me, I want you to know the King. I want you to love the King and then love the kingdom. You see, there's an invitation, I believe, that God is just inviting us right now. He's inviting us to know him, to know his ways, to know his heart, rather than just to be told what to do, to go after him rather than the things. Because let's face it, we can be all busy with church, we can be all busy doing things. And as I said, I'm a doer and I feel a lot more comfortable to go after the kingdom. I'd rather go for the signs and wonders, the words of knowledge and the prophetic words. I want to pray for the sick and go for it. I want to see the results. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're doing things to get people's or God's approval rather than from a position of approval, then it's going to imprison you. You're going to strive. You're going to get frustrated. I suppose the best way to describe it is this. I am much more like Martha than Mary. You see, remember that story? Mary sought to please Jesus by being with him and just hanging out and listening to him, whilst Martha was all busy and she tried to please him through service. When Martha became jealous. She got irritated that Mary wasn't helping her in the kitchen and she wanted Jesus to go and tell Mary off. Can you relate to that, church? You see, a servant's role will always be a works-orientated approach to God. Signs and wonders are great, but they do not determine our joy. Because when we don't see the miracles, we will get discouraged. What we need is not just the miracles. What we need is God's presence in our lives. Instead of working for him, the invitation is for us to work with him. This is the shift, the realigning I feel God is saying to me and to us as a church. He is wanting us to work not for his favour, but to work from his favour. To work from his presence and not to work for his presence. This shift and realignment that God is wanting is to promote us from servant to friend. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. That's John 15. You see, when we know who we are in Christ, we cannot be crippled by the opinions of others. When we know who we are in Christ, we don't have to work to fit into other people's expectations or even our own. But we live with that realization that we are who our Father says we are. There is freedom. And the disciples' focus right there and then shifted from the commandments to the presence. It shifted from the assignment to the relationship. God doesn't want to just give us a load of instructions for us to follow. He will, but more importantly, he wants us to partner with him and to dream with him. Because when we become alive in the things that God has placed in us, we will be that light on the hill. People will see that you belong to the Lord, and they will come towards you. And God has placed solutions in you and me to transform the world around us. God doesn't just want to give you the solution, but he wants you and me to be part of the solution with him. Because when we encounter God, everything can change in that instant. We can get more done by accident than if we plan it when God shows up. Because when we pursue the King, when his presence is in us, it overflows to others. As I draw to a close, where are you today? Have you been more of a Martha than a Mary? Could you relate to that? Have you been striving and getting frustrated, getting anxious because you're not seeing the fruit or the results you desire? Are you waiting for God to tell you what your next step is and you're getting impatient or you're feeling lost? If so, just give it all to him again. Lay down everything again. Seek him, not the things. Know him and go after his presence. So I'm just going to pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you no longer call us servants, but you call us your friends. Thank you, Father God, that you have chosen us to partner with you, to rise up, to dream the dreams you've placed in our hearts right before we were even in our mother's womb. I pray, Father God, touch each and every one of us that hears this word today and just stir up our hearts. Touch our hearts, Lord, and draw us close to you that we may know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and see you all soon.